I'm here with John Poshnitz. I can't say your name still.
Someday you'll figure it out, man.
One day, at some point. So, John, you're a dentist in Indianapolis, Indiana, that's multiple correct. Practice owner, big into technology. Yeah. You're becoming and have become a leader in digital implantology. So talk to us. How did you get into digital implantology and why?
Wow. Well, first of all, that's pretty pretty high praise coming from you, I've got to be honest.
Not for me. I didn't say that. This is what others are telling me.
It's pretty fun to hear that. And it's really been great for me to look back at my journey about what's gotten me here and what has really been successful. And implantology is one of those fields of dentistry that I never really thought was going to be something I'd get involved in. You know, 10 years ago when I was still in dental school, never thought implants were going to be a part.
You know, I've noticed that because for me, 20 years ago was dental school. That feeling, I think, was there about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But then something changed. I think in today's world, I would say 80% of dentists coming out of dental school feel that they're going to be doing implantology.
Yep.
In my days, at least, you know, for the circle I hung around with, I don't think that was a situation.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. And right now is that time. And you know the stats as well as I do, that general dentists in the United States are placing hardly any implants compared to the rest of the world. I think it's 25% of the GPs.
Roughly 25%. And when the rest of the world, it's closer to 67-70%.
Exactly. It's for whatever reason. And the dentists of previous generations have been hesitant to get into that field. But yet, there's a tremendous prevalence of missing teeth that need to be replaced.
I think part of that reason is technology has become more prevalent. Education outside of this country is part of it is specialists don't really exist to a certain degree outside of the North America, right? But in the United States, implantology was, and to a certain degree, is still quite a complex procedure.
Yes.
It was quite a surgical procedure. But today, technology has made it so much less complicated and so much less of surgery.
Yeah.
And so talk to us about guided implantology and how that's really changing how implant dentistry is done.
Yeah. Well, guided implantology is really taking this super complex, really surgical process.
Okay.
And allowing us to pre-plan everything. Okay, I was that guy in school that I like to say I like to cram for a test, right?
Right.
I was never really like good at studying long-term in advance. I like to cram right beforehand and know what I needed to know for the test and then show up and do it. Well, in my mind, guided surgery is almost that same idea. We get to know all this information before we do the procedure. And we're not talking about months and months and years before the procedure.
Good.
In most cases, a week beforehand.
Right.
We do our homework right there on the spot, and then we get ready for the procedure.
I liken it to having X-ray vision before we start, right? It's akin, the analogy I use for people is it's like saying, you know, when you talk to general dentists that do molar endo, none of them say I do every molar endo that comes in. They all say I look at the X-ray and I determine which one's right for me. And to me, that's really the key in digital implantology. Using 3D imaging, you're able to look at an X-ray and you're able to determine which ones are right for you.
You're exactly right. And that's the only way. In my opinion, that's the only way to determine.
It's the only predictable and safe way.
What the cases are that you should and should not be taking on.
Yeah.
It's one thing to look at a film, a routine PA film.
Say, it doesn't tell you anything.
And say, oh,
you know how much distance there is between roots.
That's it.
But that's it. You don't know the buccal lingual width. You don't know any heat dehiscences.
And a tissue model, taking an impression and looking at that model, that's not going to tell you what you
need. So you're telling me that making stone-based models without CT data is not useful?
No. In fact, that not only is that not useful, I'm in all seriousness, I think that's downright dangerous.
It is not. I wouldn't say it is completely dangerous.
It's dangerous. Yeah. And certainly, seeing these things along my career is what made me really say, if this was going to be a part of what I was going to provide my patients, I have to do it the right way.
Yeah.
There's no compromise, because if it was me as the patient, I wouldn't accept a compromise.
What has adding implantology done for your practice? Because you said by your own admission, 10 years ago, you didn't think you were going to do implants. You weren't doing them day one. You probably weren't doing them when you first started your practice or your second practice, but it was something that you added. What has it done for your practice?
Well, what it's really done to the practice is changed the dynamic. What do you mean
by that?
So when I first started in that practice, when I bought the practice, it was almost 6 years ago. When I first bought that practice, we were a routine crown and bridge filling practice.
Traditional 2000s dental practice.
Exactly. It fit the bill perfectly. And that's what the patients thought of us. That's what they thought. They thought they came in, got their teeth cleaned. I made sure they didn't have cavities. And if I found anything, we fixed it. That was it. But now patients are coming to us specifically to find out what we can do to replace missing teeth with specific problems. They're coming to us with a problem, wanting a solution, asking for a solution. And that's really changed the attitude of the team. It's changed my attitude of my profession. It's taken something that I really didn't enjoy. I didn't enjoy doing crowns and fillings all day. It just didn't bring me a lot of pleasure. And now when I can help a patient find a solution to their problem, I mean, there's no bigger high, and you know this.
Yeah.
Going home after a busy, hard day of surgery, but you know that you provided them the solution they needed.
You know, and it's not even like, oh, I'm into surgery. It's part of it is, actually the majority of it for me at least is, hey, I accomplished something that I didn't think I could do, or that 5 years ago I didn't do, you know, and for me, implantology is kind of that way. Implantology isn't this one thing you conquer. Yeah. For me, it was single posterior teeth, and then it was anterior teeth, and then it became immediate teeth, then it became multiple teeth, then it became denture replacement, then it became, you know, full arch fixed hybrids, you know, and now it's, you know, and all of this is the evolution of dental implants, not the field, but the within my practice and my comfort level with it.
Exactly.
So if we all know it's so great, what's holding dentists back from doing adding implants to their practice?
You know, it's funny you say that, because with my experience with associate doctors and working alongside them and trying to help mentor them in my own practice, and then some of the things I've done in the field, you find the same kind of common theme. Yeah. Everyone's got the same three things. And number one, it's always fear.
Yeah.
It's always fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of what's going to happen if I drill half a millimeter too deep. What's going to happen if I cover that thing up and the sutures come out?
Yeah.
Right? Because they don't know. They simply don't know. They're lacking some of the knowledge. And that's certainly a scary thing, because dentists we're analytics. We want to know.
But knowledge is unacceptable to me today.
I would agree with that. I would agree, because there's never-ending, you know, sources of knowledge out there.
So we got fear, we got knowledge. Yep.
And then three, the thing that really holds them back, but they probably don't know it, but it's really what holds them back, is the time.
Talk to me about that. What do you mean by that?
Because this takes time. This takes time, and it's not a time aspect from, oh, I have to find a time for a weekend course, or I have to find time for a 3 month long continuum every other weekend. That's easy. We all can find that time.
If we want it.
If we want it to. We could all find that time. But it's the time commitment to really refine this. Because how many doctors have you met along your years doing this that have said, oh yeah, I've gone and done all the implant training, all this, all that, and they're doing two implants a month.
Yeah.
Does that really
so that's the implementation.
Practice?
So basically, you know, so to me, so that speaks to me. Those three things speak to me. Number one, I was unbelievably afraid of placing implants. Okay. I've passed out. I tell everybody I passed out watching my first tooth being taken out. I have the story where I show people my first implant and how it took me 4 hours to place an implant, and I was 3 millimeters supracrestal.
Perfect. Nailed it.
You know, that was the fear, right? And technology took care of the fear for me, right? Yep. Then there was the knowledge, right? And I will say to people that it wasn't a knowledge of not knowing enough. It was a belief that I had to know so much more to get. I had this belief that I had to learn everything
all at once too,
before I got started.
Yep.
And to me, I think that's the wrong way of doing it. I think it's wrong to go into learning implantology and right away starting with full arch cases or even having that part of your initial training.
Yeah.
Because for the vast majority of us, it's going to be onesie twosies. And there's a great living in onesie twosie implantology. The complications associated them are so much more manageable and things like that. And I'd like to add one thing on the time that you were talking about. I think the challenge for most people with time is also about scheduling it.
Yeah.
About scheduling not just the procedure, because in theory, they all say, well, I'll make the time, right? But it's not that we can't make the time for the procedure, it's we don't make the time to be successful for the implementation. We don't block the time after the CE. Yeah. We don't pre-schedule, hey, let's find out what kind of five patients, what where can I get five patients? How much do I have to discount it? Mm-hmm. You know, how much do I have to tell them that you're my first five patients? You know, we're all in dental school. Those patients knew what they were getting into. How do we recreate that environment in our practice? You know, and I always look at dentists and I say, you've got Saturday and Sunday to make your day. So they say, well, my practice is so busy when I'm there. Great, go when you're not there.
Exactly.
You know, go on Fridays if you don't work Fridays. Go on Saturday, Sunday. Stay from 5 to 8 one day and do them. You know, those are all, I think, what I call unacceptable excuses.
Yeah.
And knowledge is part of that too, from a sense of there's a thing called YouTube and Google and things like that, right? So how do you overcome these three obstacles, the obstacles of time, of fear, of knowledge, and time? How do you overcome that?
Well, fear, you hit it right on the head. The obstacle of fear can be overcome really simply. It's with money and investing in technology. With the technology we have now, I mean, really, we know that, and I don't mean to make light of it because it's a tremendous investment, but with that technology, the fear should be gone.
Technology is free. Okay, I want to say it again to our listeners. Technology is free. Okay, when something costs you X dollars per month and it unlocks a potential in your practice of X times 10, it's free.
Yeah.
Now the question is how quickly will you unlock and will you open that door and step through?
Exactly.
Okay, I can promise everybody listening, technology will unlock the door. Now, whether you open it and how far you go into that home is up to you.
And I can completely agree with that because I've seen that in my own practices.
Yeah. So how do we overcome knowledge?
Knowledge. Well, there's no stop to the amount of knowledge out there. You hit it right on the head. There's Google, there's YouTube, there's all kinds of free publications, low-cost publications, things where people like yourself and myself were just writing articles or giving out the info.
Yeah.
Because
we live in the information age.
We live in the information age. We want people to know.
Yeah.
We want them to know. But beyond that, there's advanced education. We just got done providing an advanced education course in implantology, guided surgery, integrating the data together. And we've seen what this group who came in with the same fears, same concerns, day one.
And their fear would probably double, not just the fear of surgery, but the fear of using the tech.
Exactly. They have this in the office, and now they know that they don't really have an excuse. And we saw in a short day and a half how quickly they were able to overcome
this. Yeah, and where they started at the beginning of the day of the two-day program and where they were by the end of the two-day program, you know, and being able to see live patients and all of those things and doing it multiple times and doing it with help and seeing my assistant do it and seeing you do it and seeing other relatively novices doing it. It gives you a lot of...
gives you that confidence.
It gives you confidence.
Go back to your office.
Everything's confidence.
It's all about confidence, right?
How do we overcome the time?
Well, you can intend. You have to do things intentionally.
Okay.
You have to do this with intention. You have to come up with a plan and set aside time specifically to implement this into your practice. Okay, again, we can make the time for the course.
Yeah.
That's not an issue.
That's the easier part to get over.
You figure it out.
You call your office manager. You say, hey, I'm not going to be here. Unschedule the patients.
Exactly. I have to go to this course. I have to figure it out. But when you come back, scheduling time, intentionally scheduling time, maybe it's a half day.
I would argue schedule it before you leave.
Even better.
Schedule it when you schedule the CE. Go ahead and say, hey, we need to schedule a couple of hours on a Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. We get back and let's talk about action steps.
Exactly. And then ongoing, taking some time out of the schedule for training with the team, reviewing what you've already talked about with them, reviewing with yourself what you've done and what you need to do. So really coming up with that game plan. And everyone's plan is different.
You know, that is some good information about the obstacles of adding implants to your practice and overcoming those obstacles. You know, here's a problem I have, okay? How do you define success in adding implants to your practice?
Yeah.
You know, for someone like me who's so driven, Okay, because I'm a pretty driven person. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm beating myself up all the time that, hey, I'm not doing enough. I'm not reaching my potential. Maybe I'm not being successful. And part of the social media doesn't help that, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm doing hundreds.
Oh, sure.
Uh-huh. Right? I'm doing implants all the time, right?
I do five fixed cases a week.
Yeah, you know. So how do you define success, and what does success look like for the general dentist starting in implantology, or, you know, kind of making that progression down the road of implantology?
Yep. So let's look at this as three phases, okay?
Okay.
So phase one of success is going to be the single, straightforward, already extracted edentulous site.
Okay.
That's the single site. To me, success for any dentist incorporating this into their practice is saying we're going to move from doing zero implants, we're doing none right now,
okay,
and suddenly we're doing 2 to 3 a month.
Okay.
Okay.
So 25 to 30 implants a year.
And in year one, that should be a huge success,
okay,
because you went from doing nothing to something.
Okay.
And very predictably. And we're picking the cases that are predictable.
Okay.
Okay. So that's phase one. The next phase, we're going to move into things like doing immediate implant placement.
That's when things took off for me.
And that's when things really took off for me too. And we're not placing immediate implants anymore. We're starting tooth replacement.
Yeah.
Tooth replacement.
We talk about that. Yeah. Tooth replacement therapy.
And it's funny how the way that you say things makes you believe in it a different way. Because I believe that. Like, I don't care if I'm putting an implant in.
You know, words matter.
They do. People and your patients hear what you say.
People want to be led. Whether that's your team members or your patients or your family members or your friends, people want to be led. People want to know what is the easiest pathway to get there, what it's going to do for them, and what they got to do to get there. You know, people want to be led. So
moving into that field of immediates.
Okay.
And that's really where we saw things taking off, because how many times, you probably see it too, it's more than half. Probably more than half the cases.
Roughly half to 60% of my implants are immediate.
Are immediates. People don't want to wait, and I can't blame them either.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Well, quite frankly, you just shouldn't wait in many cases, because when do we have the most bone?
The tooth is there.
Yep. As soon as you take out the tooth, no matter how good your grafting is, you're going to start having bone loss.
Yep.
You're going to have bone width loss. You're going to have height loss. You're going to have drifting of teeth. You're going to have interproximal bone. There's bone loss.
It's brutal.
It's surgically. I mean, how much more pain is it for the patient to go ahead and have an implant placed?
When you do an immediate placement and you call the patient the next day, or you see them a week later and you ask them how it was, they're like, yeah, it's not bad. I took a Tylenol.
No, part of that psychological, they expected the implant to hurt so much.
They expected it to hurt so much. But with that same person, if you took out a tooth without an implant placement, I'm finding that they have a lot more pain afterwards.
Yeah, I think that's all in the head, but you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. And that's part of it. Okay. And what's phase three?
Yeah. And then phase three is going from the single 1-2 units, anteriors, immediates, moving into more of full arch, giving patients solutions to their real problems. Okay. So seeing somebody that's wearing a denture and is just miserable. They're miserable with life. They're unhappy with life.
Yeah.
Those are the
easy patients, because they are so unhappy.
They're so unhappy.
Even giving them an overdenture makes them happy.
Oh my gosh. You could put two implants on a lower denture and just give them something so it's not swiveling side to side, and they're thrilled.
Yeah.
Right. But
it's life changing.
It's life changing. And that's that third phase where we're changing our patients' lives. We're providing emotional care. And that's really when, again, we saw another growth phase from revenue in the practice, but that's really when we saw the team get incredibly behind it. All it takes are a handful of full arch cases to come back for their follow-ups and with a smile on their face, finally.
Smiling. You know, it's interesting you say that. As you talk through these phases, okay, I look at, it's part of my growth. It's part of the success path. You know, instead of that, hey, I got to start with full arch cases, which great, maybe you can do that. But there's a lot of pressure with that. And it's not just that you're ready or not ready. It's also that your patients may be ready or not ready. And it also, more importantly, is your team's probably not ready.
It's the team.
They're not ready to support you in that. They don't necessarily have the trust and belief in you in that. And so when you take things a little bit slowly, okay, and slowly doesn't mean years upon years. It just means a success path. And I always talk about having a success path to from saying, hey, listen, I'm going to start off with the onesie twosies on Edentulous sites. Part two is I'm going to go into onesie twosies on immediate sites. Okay. And part three is now I'm going to move into half arch replacement, full arch replacements, whether it's fixed or removable with locators or snap-on type of things. That's a good path. That's a predictable path. That's a path that fits the life of a practice. It allows a practice to get used to adding implants. It allows a practice or the dentist to get used to the things that come along with doing complex implants. Complex implants aren't 30-minute cases. They're 2-3 hour cases. They're 2-3 hour plannings. They're there's multiple visits with patients. There's multiple coordination that goes on with that. You know, for a practice to suddenly jump into that, there's some hoops you got to go through.
I would say more than hoops, there's a lot of stress that goes into it.
And pressure.
Because and the team is the most important component in that. You take a practice that has never done implants, or they've done 2 implants in the last 3 years, and suddenly you're expecting to talk to patients about $25,000, $30,000, $50,000 treatment plan.
And
gain
the Neil Patel, $100,000
an arch.
Yeah.
But expecting the team to feel comfortable gaining the patient's trust in that. And now the team's sitting here saying, boy, I hope Doc knows what he's doing, because I kind of put myself out there with this patient selling doctor. And if they don't have that trust, or they're just used to talking about crowns and fillings with your patients, or they had a personal bad experience with an implant like one of my team members did, they're not going to support you. They can't support you.
All right. So we've talked about all the virtues. We've talked about the challenges. We've talked about overcoming the obstacles. We've talked about a success path. What happens, or what is a dentist missing out on if they choose not to participate in implantology?
Yeah. The biggest thing that they're missing out on is an opportunity. They're missing out on opportunity. And there's a lot of different opportunities, okay? So number one, you're missing out on the opportunity to help your patients, because your patients want your help.
Yeah.
We both see this. Patients want us to help them. They don't want to go somewhere else. They trust us. They want our help. And if we aren't their advocate in their care and helping them get the implant treatment they need, well, they may just not do it.
Yeah.
And we've seen that.
And we're going to have a bunch of people gumming it.
And they're just gumming it. And they just, it's okay.
What about from a satisfaction perspective? To me, that's what as we're having this conversation, implants were the first quote unquote specialty niche procedure that we added to our practice. And that was about 2009, 2010. And it, looking back, was the gateway drug to doing a lot of niche practices. It allowed me to carve out time to where I was doing more and more implants. It's the success path we're talking about, where I was doing less and less of the dentistry I didn't enjoy. It allowed me to time and economically bring in an associate, which only freed me up more to add some of the other things we've talked about on the podcast, sleep apnea, medical billing, orthodontic therapy, all these things that, quite frankly, I wouldn't have been able to do if I didn't have that success with implants. And the truth is, implants are consumers know implants, patients know implants, they're proven. So it's not an uphill battle in terms of getting people to accept it. Mm-hmm. And you're missing out. Here's what I would say with people who are on the fence or saying, well, I don't know. If you don't participate in implants, you're taking a risk that you're going to become obsolete. Okay. You're going to get run over by all the people around you, and you're missing out on changing a practice to develop the practice that you dreamed you would have when you started dentistry.
Yeah.
Okay. We all had a vision of what our practice was going to look like. And for most of us, me included, it didn't turn into that vision.
Yeah.
And what I would say now more than ever, I'm closer to that vision. The problem for me is that vision's always changing and evolving, but I'm closer and closer to that vision. I'm at a point where I'm doing the things I want to do, and I'm saying no to the things I want to say no to.
And that's what it's all about. And having that satisfaction, there's no dollar amount that can outweigh that.
John, it was awesome talking to you.
It was super fun. It was great.
You know, I think I'd like to ask one more thing.
Okay.
Because I really want to, I want to push people. You know, I've always been known as a person that doesn't sell a lot of things, you know, that doesn't push people to buy things. Our training at 3D Dentists, we don't have sales reps there actively selling things. We have them supporting us. You know, we don't have vendors and stuff all over the place. You know, we don't have 30 or 40 people in the classes. You know, it's their 10 to 12, our hands-on, our how-to hands-on programs are, you know, 10 to 12 docs, you know, very manageable and reasonable. But implants is something I want to push people to. Let's talk about some statistics with implantology.
Oh, sure.
Okay. We were speaking in Kansas City together a few days ago, and I asked people, you know, I asked how many active patients do you have in practice, and 2,500 number came up. And so what percentage of them are missing a single tooth?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So give me the statistics on that. You shared a statistic that even floored me a little bit.
So the consensus we came up with in the room as a conservative estimate would be 20% of your patients
are missing a functional tooth, not including third molars.
A functional tooth.
Yeah.
And that was kind of what we came up with. Well, there's a lot of research has been being done in this, and 67% of the population of the United States, age 35 to 44, is missing a functional tooth. Two-thirds.
Two-thirds of our patients between the age of 35...
35 and 44.
35 to 45, basically. That decade, two-thirds of them are missing a functional tooth.
At least one functional tooth.
Now let's talk about edentulous. What about people? What's the scenario of people missing all their teeth? Because this was shocking to me.
30% of the U.S. population is edentulous in one jaw.
30% of the whole population is missing all their teeth on the upper or the lower.
Or both.
30%. Okay.
Do you think any of that 30% lives around you?
Of course they do.
Of course.
Yeah.
They live around me. They live around the guy down the street. They live around everyone.
By the way, I'm sad. I'm in that 67% category, 35 to 44, because I'm missing tooth number 18.
See? And I think this is really where we struggle to grasp.
And I'm a little fearful of getting my implant done.
You're a little fearful of getting it done. All right. Time is a little bit of an issue for you.
Yeah.
You're fortunate enough that the financial impact isn't tremendously.
I'm an Indian, I don't like to spend money.
You don't like to spend money. But here you are. But here you are, a successful professional that has that situation.
Yeah.
How many of our patients and our friends.
And that's why technology is so unbelievable, because in today's world, it is 80% of the time our onesies and twosies, our patients are coming into our office three times and we're done. You saw today's case, 30 minutes.
Incredible.
You saw the case we did on day one of our program. I sectioned a bridge, took out two teeth, placed an implant, grafted the area, sutured everything up, 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
And it's not that I'm super fast. It's that it's well planned out. And it's not just the guide is the one part of it, but the guide is only a component of it, because it's also about the thought that went into planning it and knowing what to expect. And you're mentally prepared. My assistant is prepared. There's so much in there.
We're just on point.
Yeah.
And that's why I encouraged a lot of the attendees today to go down and watch.
Yeah.
Because I wanted them to see the interaction between you and Whitney.
Just step by step, handing me things.
You two are on the same page. She's reading your mind.
And implants, unlike most things in dentistry, are not the same from patient to patient. No. It's not like a crown prep is a crown prep. For the most part, a crown prep is a crown prep. For the most part, a filling is a filling. But an implant can be grafting. It can be expansion. It can be any number of things. And a lot of those things can change game time too, right?
Exactly.
But that's where technology comes in, because it becomes so predictable.
Predictable.
Yeah. Not foolproof.
No.
But predictable.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sean.
It was super.
I hope everyone listening gets into the game of implants. You know, decisions are what changes your life. And to me, the decision of implantology changed my life, changed my patients, allowed me to do something that I never thought I would be able to do, which opened the door in my practice. And then it unlocked my potential internally, because no longer did I say, hey, I can't do that. I don't say those things anymore. You know, I say now I know, hey, listen, if I can overcome implants and surgery, I know I can overcome sleep apnea. I know I can overcome medical bullying. I know I can overcome soft tissue surgery. I know I can do so many of these things. And to me, that's what it's really about. And listen, if we can help you at 3D Dentist through our training program, through wonderful instructors like myself, Dr. Johnny P, you know, my buddy Silly Sully, yeah. Hutan, Eric, you know, Brian McGue with sedation, Dalva with Ceric Mastery. You know, if we can help you guys, let us help. We have unbelievable education, and I've done a poor job of letting people know how they can support me.
Yeah.
You know, 20 years, the profession's been unbelievably good to me, and I've tried to give back as much as I can, but I've been poor about how people can support me back. And that support is coming through our training programs. We do it truthfully the right way. We are dentist owned. We have no private equity. We have no large corporation. We don't take any money from any company. We have partners that certainly provide us materials and support. And it's all about the attendees. It's a fun environment. We have dinner at the house, or we have happy hour behind the office. You meet the team members. You get access to the office. You get access to team members. Say, hey, can you show me this? You say, hey, I want to learn about this. Or tell me about this. And, hey, let's go downstairs and see what it looks like, you know. And it's a cozy environment. It's not tight, but it's a small, intimate learning environment.
It's an environment unlike anything else in dentistry, in my opinion. And that's why I feel so good about getting the chance to work with you. And
I'm grateful. And if we can help you, 3D-dentist.com or tbonespeaks.com will get you there as well. You can email me. You can message me. You can phone me. You can text me. You can send Stork after me, whatever it takes. We're so fortunate. We're doing so well. But I want to touch and help more people change their practices. Dentistry has been so good. I think it's the best profession in the world. And I hope you guys have enjoyed the podcast, and have a great day.